This is the Truth Radio Network. It's the Truth Radio Network. Your home for compelling Christian news talk with an edge.
This is the coffee pot at work. Listen to it perk. Look at the coffee as it gets darker and stronger. Smell the honest coffee smell. Ah, smell it. But will this cup of coffee taste as good as it smells? You bet it will.
Like red wine and sunshine, over the years, coffee has run a wide range in health circles. From being neutral, to bad for you, to good for you, and back to neutral. It seems like every other day someone is telling us why we should or shouldn't drink coffee. Well, I'm here to break this down for you. Like red wine and sunshine, caffeine in excess is not necessarily good for you. But research is piling up indicating that coffee in moderation offers some great benefits. Let me count thy ways. Coffee is the single largest source of antioxidants in Americans' diets. Research shows that caffeine improves endurance and athleticism when consumed before a workout. Coffee has been found to reduce the negative health effects of things like smoking and drinking. Not that it makes smoking okay, it is just a glimpse at how powerful coffee may be. Finally, there's research showing a connection between coffee drinking and a lower risk of diabetes, Parkinson's, and certain cancers. Also, one recent study even found that coffee drinkers live longer. So remember, if you don't get jittery and have disrupted sleep, drinking a cup or two of coffee per day may make you feel just a little bit better.
Here come the coffee beans that make Yuban the world's richest coffee. Yuban, created by General Foods, world's largest importer and roaster of coffee. Yuban, richest because it is blended with rare aged coffee beans. Fresh roasted at peak flavor.
Deep, dark, delicious Yuban.
Other coffee beans are roasted green in color, young in flavor. But Yuban adds to its blend beans that are aged to peak flavor. Like vintage wine, the choicest cheese, the finest steak. Yuban, coffee such as you have never experienced before. Yuban, world's richest coffee. Blended with rare aged coffee beans. Well worth the few extra pennies you'll pay. Try Yuban soon.
Deep, dark, delicious Yuban.
Your cups and cups and cups. Dozens of extra cups of the coffee with that warm bean flavor. Warm bean flavor because it's made from coffee beans still warm from roasting.
For most, chocolate is a guilty pleasure, made better because it's so bad for you. Now though, an extensive study has discovered that eating chocolate can be very good for your health. It can substantially reduce your risk of having a heart attack or stroke, and helps lower blood pressure. And before you check the date, this isn't a wind-up. The study was carried out by German nutritionists and kept track of chocolate eaters for at least 10 years. Even the British Heart Foundation agrees with the findings.
Dark chocolate has had a lot of publicity in the past about it being beneficial, and we think that that's due to the flavanols, which are actually in the cocoa, and there's some suggestion that that's actually the chemical that actually has got the heart protective effect.
The study monitored more than 19,000 people and found that eating just 7.5 grams of dark chocolate a day reduced the risk of heart attacks and strokes by 39%. Even better, those who ate the most chocolate had the greatest benefit. As always though, there is a catch. High-end chocolates like these are the most beneficial.
when things are added to chocolate, that's when it starts to become fattening and higher in calorie. The more natural it is, the better it is for you. So the darker and the richer and the better the quality of the chocolate, the better it is for you.
So this Easter, don't feel guilty. It's good for you. Some of these even add towards your five a day, as they contain real fruit. Of course, the problem is, will it taste as good now it's no longer bad? Of course it will.
Google Court now in session.
The order! You've got to keep Cocoa Puffs away from me!
But wait!
It turns everything chocolatey!
Munchy crunch.
Oh.
What's wrong with that?
I call my first and only witness, Cocoa Puffs.
Chocolate in the cone.
I'm Cocoa for Cocoa Puffs. Cocoa for Cocoa Puffs.
Chocolatey Cocoa Puffs, part of a good breakfast.
I find you guilty of being delicious.
Those who ate the most chocolate had the greatest benefit.
Indeed, those who read the most Bible and follow the Lord have the most benefit. Welcome in. This is In the Crosshairs with Karen and Jay here on the Truth Radio Network. Karen, I hear candy wrappers in the background, I think.
Oh, I must have not muted my microphone. Oops.
Hey, would that be Valentine's Day? Would that be Valentine's Day chocolate leftovers?
Well, there's quite a bit left over around here, and nibbling little by little to dwindle it down, but a much welcome relief in this dreary wintertime. You know, chocolate is actually good for us, Jay, and so I always tell myself that, you know, usually I have stashes around because, I mean, after all, I'm going to be healthy and stuff.
Well, absolutely. You know, we say around here, when news breaks, we fix it. And breaking news, this just in from Huffington Post, well, this is good for you. Once again, study after study after study after study, chocolate is good for you. In moderation, of course. Now, it does say in moderation, but isn't that kind of subjective in moderation? I'm getting off topic. Anyway, can't believe it's been a whole week since we've done a show.
Well, absolutely, and I just want to come back to the subject for just a second. I mean, I don't think we should just introduce the chocolate and not say what the benefits are. You know, this article from Huffington Post says that every month new test results pour in to confirm what all chocoholics know, that chocolate is good for you. I mean, we've been saying this for how many years now? And the studies are backing this up. Decreased blood pressure, improved blood vessel health, and improved cholesterol levels are just a few of the benefits. But the bad news is you can't eat as much as you want without increasing your level of physical activity, or you will gain weight. You know, and the darker the chocolate, the more antioxidant properties are in there. You know, they talk about the cacao tree. I am not a real fan. Well, it says cocoa tree, but there is a substitute that you can use for actual real cocoa, which I don't really like that well. I've tried to wean myself off or try this thing. It just never has appealed to me, but anyway, I just had to get that in because, you know, I just want everyone to feel, like, healthy.
Yes, and you can't overdo it, even on the healthy stuff. You know, you can indeed overdo it. I'm a coffee freak myself, and the coffee's good for you. Hey, I love coffee. You know, coffee... chocolate, you know, natural things like that. Got me thinking, not just, you know, coffee and chocolate, but springtime coming up soon and how you know, the weather's getting nice and you know, how I'm looking forward to it and whatnot. And it got me to thinking how little we talk about the joys that God gives us. You know, not you know, we don't usually talk too much about those things. Just the simple little things that a lot of people would take for granted. Most people do take for granted. You know, mm-hmm. But it'll depend, you know, where you live, you know, what part of the country you live in or what area you live in. Because, like, for instance, where I'm at, you know, you can barely see any skies, stars in the sky at night. But you go out somewhere, you know, out more 40 miles or so out, and you can see stars. And people who see it all the time take it for granted. And for those of us who don't get a chance to see it all the time, we got to take a, I guess what I'm trying to say is appreciate what God gives us on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be the little things, the little pleasures, like, you know, chocolate, you know, as long as you're not going crazy with it, you know, coffee, things like that. The simple little pleasures, because we talk about it all the time. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on. I almost slipped up there. There's a lot of crazy things going on and heavy topics and whatnot. So anytime we can get a little joy, I think it's a good thing. That's why I try to always be upbeat. But it gets rough sometimes, Karen. You know how it does. It gets hard sometimes to always be upbeat when you go through these news, these talks, everything. I mean, you'd have to not be paying attention to miss how our country is swinging towards socialism. And it's not even really subtle. Ooh. It's not even a subtle shift, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, with Obama, it was kind of subtle, but you see the groundswell of support for a guy like Bernie Sanders, who's an admitted socialist.
Mm-hmm.
You just see it, and you're like, wow. I mean, things are really kind of heating up and getting really interesting. And the further, you know, further we go towards the left, the less room there is for God and for Christians, especially.
Well, yeah, and this isn't just like an overnight thing that has happened. Like, voila, we're just going towards this. This thing has been being indoctrinated in the schools, especially the universities in particular, for a long, long time. And, you know, communism used to be kind of talked about in a negative way, I mean, years ago. And socialism basically is the first step towards communism, where the state is basically God. It replaces God in people's lives, and it becomes the dictates of the state is what people live under. And, you know, this great country has been sovereign for so many years, and we liked that part. We came here to be a sovereign nation. We were formed to be a sovereign nation, and our Constitution works really good as a form of government. That I personally like it as the best form of government that I see in the world. And, of course, that has gotten perverted and reinterpreted a lot. But basically, if it wasn't corrupted at this point, it does work very well. But, you know, the Bible talks to us about a coming world government, the world system, and people who are real globalist-minded, which the left are really one-world-minded, knew that America had to be weakened and had to be brought down as a sovereign nation, because think about it. We would never assimilate into a world global system of economics and politics. And, you know, people want no borders. They want this one world, all of humanity. And including the religious people, the religious leaders who want all one religion to get along, no matter what it is you believe. And so we know that this is prophesied in the Bible, and that there will come a day when this is happening. And what's interesting, Jay, is that we're actually watching it happening right in front of our eyes. And this is like a huge shift. Even from 20 years ago, And it's gradually been, you know, indoctrinated,
right.
And they've been patient. And more people are turning away from the Bible to themselves, to humans being the center of the universe, to us not needing God for anything. And so what do we need that silly old constitution for to tell us what to do? With the guise that everyone is going to be equal. Well, that's all a pipe dream, because any socialist government has not been successful in history. Why would we want socialism? How insane.
You know, and it's
however,
really appealing. Sorry, I say it's really appealing. Bernie was here in the metro area yesterday. He was up in Ypsilanti, and he was also in Dearborn at a UAW hall, local in Dearborn,
mm-hmm.
UAW 600. And just the grounds, it was funny. It was funny because I saw some campaign signs. Bernie signs, and it said Bernie Sanders 2016, and underneath it said get your free college tuition or something to that effect, free college tuition.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just amazing mm-hmm. that these kids are just hoodwinked, hornswoggled, brainwashed into
mm-hmm.
thinking that this is all good. And some of the comments from these leaders of tomorrow where it's okay, you know, if you pay an extra 5% on your taxes, you know, this is for the good of everybody. And it's like, oh man, they sound like already brainwashed drones.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And you see it in comments all over the net. You see, especially young people, you know, just absolutely soaked in this leftism mentality. And that's really, you know, even Hitler back in history knew that you had to get to the young people, that the mindset had to be changed, that propaganda had to be used. And, you know, this is a steady process of completely, it's kind of a 1-2 punch. It's turning away from Judeo-Christian values and the Bible and the living God to basically humanism, where we determine what we want. We don't need God. There was the first thing to push us away. And then I'm not saying that I am in agreement with the corruption of the corporations. I think that they should not have been allowed to be in government like they are. And they're the ones that have really corrupted it, because money talks. We all know this. And
Money is the root of all evil. I'm sorry, the love of money, my fault. The love of money is
mm-hmm.
the root of all evil.
Well, it's very enticing, and it's got a lot of power, Jay. I mean,
mm-hmm.
absolute power. And corruption has seeped into our government, and a lot of the people who used to have standards and character and integrity are swayed by the amount of money that they can shove in their pockets by these corporations. And once we let corporations give unlimited campaign funds, it was over. And what have they done for us? We just read an article the other day that Carrier Heating and Cooling is moving out to Mexico. Yet another big company of 1,400 employees are moving. And there was a clip of the executives telling these people that they were going to move and how it was a hard decision because it was going to affect all of their lives. But, you know, and he didn't go on to say, but, you know, really the bottom line is what we're after, the net worth, the amount of money that we can make for our stockholders. Because stockholders are squawking. That's what stockholders do with corporations. They demand profit. And so it's gotten to where the companies themselves are very psychotic and very, psychopaths and sociopath, where they are only interested in the money and not the people. But like my husband always says, that's what corporations do. They make money for their stockholders on the backs of the workers. And it doesn't really surprise me that socialism is moving, because there's been the young kids that are coming out of colleges are all indoctrinated to hate with a passion capitalism. And capitalism is not a bad thing unless it's out of control and greed takes over, and capitalism is good for competition, it's good for innovation, it's good for ultimately the public, because if two companies can be in competition with each other, they're usually fighting for different prices on an item or something. This is prior to Walmart, by the way. In little communities, they were kind of self-sustaining until these big conglomerates came in and just took over these towns. And now, if Walmart has been there, you can pretty much tell that, you know, the little downtown mom-and-pop businesses are gone. And my question is, what are all these people that are being laid off once again by a big corporation and moving out their business in addition to it, where are these people going to work now? We've got to assimilate 1,400 people into the culture, into the workforce, into finding a job somewhere for these people.
Well, you've seen the effects of that, the negative effects of that, you know, there in Flint and also here in Detroit. You know, when layoffs happen, when businesses close up, when industry moves out of town, out of country, you know, you've seen the effects. I mean, from I-75, for the longest time, Flint looked like a big empty warehouse. That's all it looked like.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, yeah. I mean, and it's still really struggling, and there's a lot of corruption within the, you know, the local government has been, like it has been in Detroit.
Right.
But, you know, a lot of that came from the unions, you know, putting pressure on some of these companies. And they just said, hey, you know, we can't afford the demands that you're putting on us. We're just going to move right out of here. And they move to Mexico. They move offshore. They keep their money offshore. Their profits offshore, their business offshore. And so basically, if this keeps happening, we're going to have a bunch of people. I mean, there's only so many jobs with so many companies. So, okay, what do we do with the leftover people? Well, the big government comes in and says, well, let mommy state redistribute the wealth here. Let mommy state dictate everything that's going to happen and make it fair for everyone. And it all sounds so warm and fuzzy. I mean, after all, everybody hates, you know, injustice. They hate the unfairness of life. And so if they can be convinced that all we have to do is get rid of these rich people and redistribute it down to the poor, but they're squeezing the middle class right now so bad.
Right.
The rich have all kinds of tax shelters. They are out of this country. The rich are not going to be touched. It's the middle class that is carrying the burden. And as we've seen in other history, it collapses eventually. So it's going to be easy takeover. That's all I can say. I don't know how it's going to happen, but if we keep going the way that we're going, other strong nations like China and Russia and people that keep taking our money and building up their countries, I mean, China takes all of our money for the most part. We owe them. It's going to be a matter of time before the money is going to, you can't sustain it. It's just not sustainable, this debt that we have.
Oh, absolutely not. There's $19 trillion officially, but, you know, some estimates have it over $200 trillion in debt. It's just astronomical. It can never, ever be paid off. And it's just, it boggles the brain to even think about it. But, you know, we're, we let it happen as a people, as a country, we let it happen. once we started getting fat and comfy and satisfied, we stopped paying attention to politics and important things that matter. We're talking about back in the, 40s and 50s, the 1940s and 50s, when these societal winds started to shift a little bit in this country, and not too many people noticed. You know, things started to go a little bit more towards the left, and a little bit more towards the left, and we get to this point now. You know, it didn't take long. And there's a lot of folks that would say, hey, they were working on it, or the agenda was being worked on long before that. Yeah, probably right. You know, because as we've seen through media and various forms of media, books, television, movies, music, it's used as to influence people. That's why corporations have such powers, because their influence, and their influence comes from money. So if they don't like say a GMO labeling bill, they can lobby hard against it, and the senators who are going to vote on it, congressmen who are going to vote on it, they, well, hey, you know, this maybe this big donation showed up in my account overnight from this group that I know is associated with the group that opposes this bill. Maybe I should just vote against it. Or maybe it's not even that clandestine. It might even be out in the open. Hey, here's X amount of dollars. You and your people won't vote for this. You know, it could even work like that. We don't know. But we do know that it does influence, and you're right, corporations being able to be heavy donors and wield such influence and power is not fair to the rest of us whose policies affect, whose those policies affect the most.
Well, absolutely, Jay. And what I'd like to see is corporations out of the politics again. You know, kick them out like they were not allowed to be before. And that's the answer. The answer is not to get rid of our republic, to get rid of our constitution, to get rid of the way that America has been run, except for this big money and influence and corruption. And, it's also interesting to me how, like you were saying, Sanders wants these big universities and is pushing everybody, oh, get in the universities, get an education. What are they educating them about? If they're indoctrination centers for more and more of this, of course they want everybody to pour into the universities, because the universities are the indoctrination centers where
the sheeple mills. I like to call them the sheeple mills. So they just pump out sheep after sheep.
But the funny thing about that sheep analogy to me is that the Bible, Jesus even talked to his disciples about being as sheep among wolves. Sheep are a bad thing. They just need a good shepherd.
Exactly.
The state is not a good shepherd, let me tell you. The devil is not a good shepherd to follow. And we are like sheep. The Bible talks about us being like sheep. We've all been led astray. And our nature is to follow. I mean, some people are rebellious by nature, but the point is that people are looking for wisdom in these Eastern religions. They're looking for solutions to the problems. They're saying humanity can solve all of these world issues. We can fix climate change. We can fix poverty. We can fix everything. We don't need Jesus. We don't need God, the living God anyway, of the Bible. We don't need his help. Thank you very much. And we can do this by ourselves. If enough of us get together, and it really goes back to the Babylon culture, where it's without the living God, it's basically man is worshiping with false gods, with him being the center of the universe and divine and all that. And it even goes back to the Garden of Eden, where Satan said, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. which was a straight-up lie because he lies. But once we bought that lie, right back there, humanity did. And the fall happened. And what does the fall mean? The fall means that we were separated from God, because Adam and Eve had disobeyed and sinned. Sin separates us from God. It's that simple. He's a holy and just God who can't abide by sin. So this fall was, okay, go ahead and figure it out. Go ahead and walk your own way, do your own thing without me. Now, he knew that we would come fall in on ourselves, and he gave us a way out to be reconciled back to him. And it's not, you know, being saved is not, through Christ, is not just about not going to hell for all eternity. It's more that we're adopted as sons and daughters of God in fellowship and connection with him again. That's what was lost. And all this junk that we see down here, all this mess that we've made, is man messing it up. And to think that we're going to fix it is just the prep for when the Antichrist leader, which God has already told us about is coming, will sit on the throne of a one-world system and rule and reign and tell everyone, yes, indeed, all is well, you have peace, you have safety. But the Bible says sudden destruction is going to come right then. But this is what we believe as Christians, because we look at this life and it's just temporal. Our eyes are on eternity. Our eyes are looking at Christ. Our eyes are not enticed by the temptations and the lusts of this fallen world that can give you no satisfaction, can give you no eternal life. But Christ gives us eternal life. That's what we're excited about.
Amen. You know what I find interesting? You talked about idols for a second there. And what I find the most, or the biggest idol today is for people are their own selves. I do believe that people are infatuated through various forms of media, you know, the YouTube, and YouTube was a big starter. That started it years ago, of people actually wanting to get their 15 minutes of fame. And I think folks are infatuated with fame and celebrity. I think people are infatuated with being the star, the center of attention. And I believe they've created their own idols in their own image. And we see a lot more of that. You know, in the way
what are we left with?
Right.
Absolutely, Jay. Yeah, and that's what we're left with is ourselves. I mean, there's nothing else. And that's a very heady, puffed up, be like God situation that the enemy said, because in Lucifer in heaven, we're told, as a created angel and being, who God created, rose up in pride and wanted to be like God, wasn't content with his high position. And this is the age-old lie that has come down from when he was kicked out of heaven for rising up against God to begin with, and has led many people over the cliff. But it's so heady, because how arrogant is it to think that we can be like God?
And that's a lot of folks do believe that. I mean, there's a big movement where, you know, a big religious movement's based upon that, where people are gods.
Yeah, but in the end, you know, we might self-deceive ourselves into thinking that we're God and that we can do our thing, and we can do our thing. God lets us do our thing. It's just that, to what end does it actually happen? You know, that's all great for years. You have party downtime and You hide in sports, you hide in drugs, you hide in whatever. You know, all the distractions that especially our country gives us. And we're all going to come to the end of our lives. And we're all going to leave all this mess. I haven't seen one person in their funeral have like all of their cars and their goodies and their coins and all the stuff in their casket with them. I mean, they don't even take a suit or a dress. They're left in their body is left here with that material part of us. So then what?
And then that's when life begins.
Well, or ends. I mean, you're going to spend eternity somewhere. We're already in eternity right now. So the question is, where are you going to spend eternity? Well, the New Agers say we're going to just be part of the big universe. We're going to come back and reincarnate back here. Or we're just going to assimilate, evolve into a better, higher consciousness, whatever the heck that means. And people buy this.
Oh, boy,
they buy
yeah.
into it. That's what gets me. If somebody makes, some guru makes this, you know, prediction about the chakras and the energy forces and the this and the that. And of course, we know that they get in touch with the demonic. And, you know, it's so funny, Jay, because the Dalai Lama is highly revered by a lot of people. And yet, I was doing some research on him once and came across, that's the beauty of YouTube, is that you get to see videos of different things. And that just, in the press, we only see what they want to project. But
right.
you get on other sources and you get to see things that may or may not be true, but when somebody's filming the Dalai Lama, okay, and he's in his chambers of his little, whatever they call his hut or house or whatever, and he has these oracles come in, and they've got all their music, and this oracle is shaking and demonically possessed and, you know, all frenzied up and everything, and this oracle is supposed to give him his guidance for the next year from sources that are not natural. And, you know, people are surprised that he consults demons for his prediction for the next year. And yet, do we see that when we see him come to universities? You know, he's got his little garb on, and he's so sweet, and he's so precious, and he has that cute little smile. And you would never guess that in India or wherever he goes, that he is consulting with demons and in touch with the demonic realm.
Wow.
And yet millions of people follow this guy. I mean, but, you know, they won't follow Jesus Christ, but they'll follow the Dalai Lama because he's pronounced some truth. And they'll just, you know, take it hook, line, and sinker. Of course. That's wisdom. That's ancient
right.
wisdom. Okay, well, that's partly true because we know that the angels and the demons have been around for a long, long time. And there is an ancient, in history we see, you know, things about that. But
open up the book of Proverbs. There's some ancient wisdom.
Yeah. Well, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And when it says the fear, I think it's twofold. It's reverence for who he is, as well as there's a certain reverential fear that we should have. Because in Matthew, Jesus told his disciples as they went out and they were going to possibly be killed. He says, don't worry about, in fact, I've done it right here. Matthew 10:28. Jesus said, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him, that means God, which is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. Sobering comment. That came right out of Jesus' mouth. Yes, he did say hell. Okay. Now, he's saying if somebody kills you, that's all they can do to you. They can take your life. It's over. Your earthly realm is done. They can't do any more. Once they kill you, they can't do any more. What can they do to you? If you're dead, you're dead. But eternity awaits. And so if you want to fear something, Jesus is saying fear him. Fear God.
Right.
And, you know, people like kind of poo-poo that a little bit. But I'm talking about a reverent fear where you realize what position you are and who you are and who God is and who you're not. We are created beings made in his image, but we are not God. We are created. He's not created. Everything is just such a mixed mash at this point, Jay, that it's just quite an interesting time to be alive, actually. I find it quite fascinating.
Fascinating, yes, indeed. Interesting, fascinating. Yeah, those words describe it very, very well. Curious times we live in.
Perilous. There's another one that the Bible
perilous,
talks about.
Right. Curious times. Yeah, I mean, it is interesting, Karen, especially when you put all world events in the context of what the Bible tells us, you know, we're going to see. If you want to consult, if you want to know the future, if you want to waste your time and consult an oracle, that's your business, but, you know, the Bible's pretty plain on what's going to happen before Jesus returns.
Well, yeah.
And you can apply that to everyday life, especially in these days. Just about every single news story I run across, I'm like, oh, man, you know, especially technology-related. Technology-related stuff really, really perk my ears up.
Mm-hmm. It's like watching a movie. I sometimes feel like I'm watching something unfold that feels unreal, but it's really happening. And then I look in the Bible and I say, well, of course it is. God's not
right.
Thrown off by it. He already told us. Way ahead he knew this was going to happen because he knows the beginning to the end of the whole thing. And so, of course, he has, in his graciousness, given us a heads up, which I think is awesome. And, you know, he said, when you see these things happening, this is the beginning. When they begin to come to pass, this is Luke 21:28. See these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift your head, for your redemption draws nigh. So, not only do we have the curiosity, you know, and all the other adjectives that we just said, we have hope. That's
Amen.
What is so beautiful about the Lord is that he has not left us as orphans. He's offered us eternal life through him and says it's by grace, through faith, that we're saved. And not of works, so that we don't have to boast. It levels us all in the same playing field, right? Which was beautiful. Talk about justice. And that we're to be excited about it. And a part of my soul is vexed to see people being deceived and being led away and led astray. Not only that, but professing Christians, not to mention people who are lost without Christ. My soul is vexed, grieved over seeing some of that. On the other hand, I know my Lord and the truth about what he's told me and my position in Christ and my eternal status. through him. And so we can have joy and peace and assurance. And yes, I did say joy, Jay.
Yes.
And I said peace. But these things come from Christ. They don't, they're not, you can't self-manufacture true peace.
Right.
You can't self-manufacture joy. You know, the, instead of joy, the world always talks about happiness. Oh, be happy, 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 happy.
Yeah. There's a difference.
That's a lot different than contentment and joy that God gives us. And that's one of the consequences or the gifts or the inheritances that we have as children of God. And we're adopted through Christ, coming out of darkness into God's marvelous light through the blood of Christ on the cross. That's the only way.
Amen.
And anybody who says any different is deceiving themselves. And unfortunately, many people are deceived.
Right, and a lot of prominent people in the media are saying these things, and not only themselves are deceived, but the folks who cling and hang on their every word are deceived too, because they think like they think like their idols in the media think. You know, they believe like they believe because they think it's cool. It's the right thing because they've given these media idols this power, this authority.
Mm. Well, in sports too.
Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I'm a big sports fan. I see it.
But, I mean, it's become idolatry to a lot of people. I mean,
right.
These people in different It just depends. I mean, idolatry comes in different forms. And, you know, people know every detail about how many touchdowns somebody did and what their jersey number is and what their this and their that and their career and who they're married to and what they've said and what they've done. And,
right.
And they'll
they
hone
have for
in
breakfast.
On that. Yeah, and they'll go with that with gusto, learning all those details. And yet, the source of life, the Word of God, that is life and peace and joy and forgiveness and mercy and grace and all love, all of that that comes through the Bible and God's Word and the living God, there's crickets, you know, there's, huh? Who?
Right.
Satan has done a real number on humanity. I will give him that. You know, anytime people think he's just this cartoon character that's dressed in a red suit, that's very impotent and stupid, and that's not what the Bible tells us. He is the most subtle, crafty, deceptive, lying entity, having the system that we live in on this earth, full of deception, hates humanity. There's not any light in him as an angel of light, which all of these Hindus and Eastern religions and the light workers and all these New Agers think light is coming from the universe. Well, guess who that's coming from, who the source really is? There's one living God, one, and he's only found through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I mean the real Jesus, not just the another Jesus that's this warm and fuzzy social gospel Jesus. I'm talking about the real Jesus who paid the price for our sin and was an atonement in order for us to be reconciled to the Father. That's the gospel. Take it or leave it. People don't want to talk about sin. They don't want to talk about hell. They don't want to talk about eternity. They don't want to talk about...
No, you'll hurt people's feelings. You talk like that.
Well, the gospel does offend. There's no doubt about it. I mean, Christ died for the truth. His disciples died for the truth. Any follower of Jesus Christ who's a Bible-believing Christian is going to have persecution. He's already told us this. If the world's going to hate you, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be mocked. You're going to be scorned. When he said to the disciples, they're going to take you in the synagogues and they're going to scourge you. They're going to flay you. And they're going to do all kinds of evil to you. And most of them died, if not all. Because, and what gets me about this, that I was reading like in Matthew, where Jesus was talking, and he said that they were going to kill him without a cause. You know, last week we said, well, what is so abhorrent about the goodness of God and the goodness of Christ? What did he ever do that was so horrible to reject him? He went about doing good. The disciples went about doing good, and they were surprised that, not really, because Jesus told them what they were going to find, but, I mean, they were going around casting out demons, healing the sick, healing the lepers, raising people from the dead. They had all the power that Christ had given them. He had been doing. And yet you would think people would be, wow, look at this. This must be God. This must. No one had ever done this stuff. And what did they do? They hated him and they killed him for no good reason other than it's a faith crisis. When he said he brought the knowledge of sin to these people. And that's what really ticked them off. They did not want to hear this. And they had to be willing that their whole families might turn on them. They had to be willing that, just like us today, it's an extension. He said, you'll be hated of all kinds of men for my sake. But he encouraged them to endure to the end. That's what we have to do. We have to endure to the end. And the only way I know to do that, Jay, is to pray for God's strength. Because,
amen.
You know, these are perilous times. And I'll tell you, even the strongest of us can get discouraged and get vexed and grieved, like I said. But this is where each day I think it's a challenge to check our attitude, to check where we're looking, to check. Because even though we can talk about this world dark system and what man is doing and Satan is doing, the good news is this isn't all there is. God for that. That makes me excited.
Yes.
That we can rejoice. And, you know, Jesus told his disciples when he was ready to be crucified that they would feel sadness, but the world would actually rejoice when he was killed. That's what he said. The world will rejoice. And I think, why would the world rejoice? When what crime did he commit? What sin did he do? What horror did he do that the world would hate him so and rejoice that he was killed? And killed in a very horrible way, by the way. Why would they rejoice in that? The nature of man is to hate God. We do not have a heart aside from Christ that loves God. It's just our natural state. All of us were in it because all have sinned and fallen short. That means all. That included us too. We're not anything special. But Christ is.
Amen.
It's just interesting how, you know, things are getting. The devil knows that his time is short. He knows that Christ is coming. And Christ is coming the second time around. You know, the first time he said, I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to save the world. That's what he said when he broke into human history. I bring you the good news. I bring you hope. I bring you forgiveness. I bring you love. Okay? I bring you redemption. I'm your redeemer, your deliverer. I'm getting you out of this mess. But the next time we're anxiously awaiting his second coming, he's going to judge all of his enemies that hate him. It's not going to be such a nice thing when he comes back the second time. And that's why the world says, now, where is this coming? Ha ha, yeah, right. Sure, he's coming.
Right.
People have been saying this for years. Yeah, right. Well, you know what? We don't know when, but you know what, Dave? We're one more day closer to that day every
right.
day we live. I don't know when it's going to be. None of us do. But we're one more day closer. I do know that because I know that God is faithful and true and that his word is true and that he is not man, that he should be a liar, and that what he says will come to pass in his time. That we can be sure.
Amen. Speaking of time, wow, we're down to the last 3 minutes of the show.
Wow. It goes fast.
It sure does. It went so fast. Last week we went about 12 minutes over an hour.
We did.
Oh,
this is nice for our archive listeners because they get a little extra tidbit. But the live listeners get kind of cut off when we do that. But these are interesting days.
Yeah, I tried to extend the show last week. I just wasn't quick enough on the button to do it. But oh wow, like you said, the archive listeners got a chance to hear our chatter after the show, or while the show was still going.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right; we are living
in
very interesting times. And if you don't know God, get right with God. Meet Him. Open the Bible and take time this week. If you don't remember anything else from the show, take time this week to appreciate the little things God's given us.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Wow.
Well, seek Him while He may be found, because today is the day of your redemption, not, you know, I mean, like, we just never know. I mean, like, this judge that just passed as an example, he went to bed one night, you know, the other day, and on Saturday, and or Friday night, I should say, never woke up. Did he think that on Friday, I'm going to die tomorrow?
Right. You don't know.
I don't think many of us go to bed thinking, well, I'm going to be dead in the morning.
No. No, I'm thankful. I'm joyful to wake up every morning, and I thank God for waking up every morning when I wake up. Thank Him for the day. Because it is a gift.
Amen. But one of these days, we're not going to wake up, Jay. Because it's pointed
for those of us who are ready for that day, it's not going to, it's going to be a great day. You know, it's going to be the most joyous day that we've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk more about that next week. How about that?
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right, everyone, have a great week. Our website, www.thetruthradionetwork.com. Check it out. Our schedule's there. You can find our link to Spreaker, SoundCloud, Vimeo, YouTube. I think that's about it. Blog Talk Radio as well. Take care, everyone. God bless. We'll see you next week.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Karen. Great show, sis.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
This is the Truth Radio Network. The Truth Radio Network. Your home. Compelling Christian news talk with an edge.